So our reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, reading verses 1 through to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, here we are, second Sunday of Advent. And that reading will be familiar to many of us as we walk through Advent year by year. We've heard about John the Baptist in Luke's Gospel this morning. Luke was a very accurate historian, and he gives a really detailed time frame of events unfolding. And this enables a really clear understanding of just when John was called to herald Christ's birth, Emmanuel, God with us. We hear it was the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. This was a time when Israel was fallen. The Jews were ruled by foreigners, the Romans, and a time when many, many had also fallen away from God, fallen from his ways. In those times, if a king was visiting a place, someone would be sent before him to herald his coming. The king's coming, any day soon, would be announced. Clean up, make sure you're following the laws properly, and get your lives in order. There would also be a city inspection and a list written of all the things that needed doing. So all was working well and looking good for the arrival of the king. Clean up the streets, sort out your gardens, fix the roads. So everything is fit for a king. And we hear in our gospel reading this morning, John the Baptist is proclaiming, he is the herald, the king is coming, preaching Jesus, Jesus' arrival, Jesus' life on earth. He's to prepare the way, to proclaim the message, to preach the message. Repair your lives. Prepare for Christ's coming. Repent. Make right with God. Repent and be baptized. A baptism of repentance. There was Herod. As we've heard, there was John the Baptist, called to proclaim. And John the Baptist took on that calling, God's call to him, God's call to all of us. Not the same to John, might be at some stage, but not all. We all have our calling, it's different for all of us. John's a relatively unknown man, really, not powerful, not wealthy, not particularly important, really, or prestigious, and he was living out in the wilderness, a bit eccentric, we hear in the other Gospels, don't we? But not that well known. Really, really quite ordinary. And God shows us in John that we don't need to be important or prominent or powerful. John was chosen, quite an ordinary man, but given such an important job to do by God. And he chose to follow God's call. Like many we know in the Bible. Let's think about the Christmas story. Mary, an ordinary young girl, called to do such an amazing thing. She followed that call. The disciples. It was St. Andrew's Day last Tuesday, and we talked on Tuesday evening about St. Andrew. He was a fisherman, quite ordinary, doing an ordinary job, but asked to follow Jesus. We're thinking about the shepherds as well, in their fields, getting on with their shepherding, and yet they were called to go and seek out Jesus, and they did. And many ordinary people at that time did ordinary lives, ordinary things, but they were called by God to do things. Ordinary people called to do extraordinary things. And I think through my life, I think through people here, I see ordinary people, because I'm ordinary. We're pretty ordinary, aren't we? Put your hand up if you think you're pretty ordinary. Yeah. Put both my hands up. But I hear and I see ordinary people doing the most extraordinary things in love, in that knowledge of God's love for them and shining that love out. I see people dedicating their lives to caring for loved ones for many, many, many times over and over through their lives. I see people committing every single day of their life to their front line, going out and being extraordinary. We think of extraordinary as being absolutely magnificently amazing, and sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. John the Baptist, it was such an amazing thing to be called to do. Mary, amazing, extraordinary. But you know, we're all extraordinary in what we do when we're called to do on our front line. I think of Janaki. I think of her calling and what she's doing, and we read about it in the prayer points. I was on Thursday on a video link to a pastor in India called to, like Janaki, to a parish in India facing persecution, facing all sorts of things. An ordinary person doing extraordinary things. So it runs, doesn't it? John the Baptist, Mary the shepherds, us, people in India, people throughout the world called. And we just sang, haven't we? We just sang about through God, we can become more. We can become our potential through following God and accepting his call. The ordinary us doing extraordinary things with God's help. I thought back to David as well. I keep talking about David. He really inspired me reading about David. He was ordinary, really ordinary. And look at his life, what extraordinary things he did through the trust in God, through following God's call and trusting with him. So what in your life have you witnessed of God's calling to you? What have you witnessed? Seeing God's call to those you know. What have you seen? What have you seen ordinary made extraordinary through following God's call? We'll all have stories to tell, I know we will. Those stories need to be told. When you get a chance, share them. Get used to telling them so you can say them and talk about them in the most easygoing way, because that witness really is important to be shared. So John herald to proclaim Emmanuel. But it's more, isn't it? Phil told us last week. Yes, Jesus the King is coming. He's coming to live amongst us. His Spirit is with us. And we do look to his coming again. Here we are then, sitting at this Advent time. We wait, we prepare. Is all prepared and ordered? Is all cleaned up? How are we with God these days? How are you? How's this country? How's Europe? How's the developing world? Is all in order? How are we doing with justice for all? How about poverty? About the environment? But we do hear in the gospel reading, all was not in a good place then, and yet ordinary folk were called to do extraordinary things. We wait, don't we, in our earthly time. But yet we know that God's time, God's ways are beyond our earthly understanding. They're into all eternity. That amazingness, that beyondness. But yet God is with us here, now, this second. And there we are with our Advent candles, the second one. Sheila lit the first candle last week and remembered the patriarchs, the prophets. And in John the Baptist, we see the last of the Old Testament prophets and the first of the New Testament disciple. John was a disciple, one of the first disciples to follow Jesus. I'm going to put my legs out like this. John straddled time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I said we'd do a dance, didn't I? Because it was cold in church earlier on. I suppose we could do a straddle dance, perhaps, to keep warm. That's a bit silly, isn't it? So, a part of time looking back, understanding the Old Testament, understanding all that was written into what was to become the light shining in the darkness. As we think back to Isaiah, as we look to Jesus' life, as we look to today, and the ordinary continuing to be made extraordinary in our lifetimes, in the light, in the hope given in every moment, yet through all eternity. Let us wait and prepare and make right now and into that beyondness. Let us make right now in this part of God's eternity. I just want to finish by reading a little more about John the Baptist from John's Gospel this time, chapter 3. They came to John the Baptist and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine. and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who comes from earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. Here, John the Baptist in John's Gospel makes it really clear. I am sent ahead of Jesus the Messiah, says John the Baptist. Jesus the Messiah, the one from above all, the one from heaven is above all. And John talks about his joy being complete. John the Baptist saying, my joy is complete. And so too for us, we have heard, let our joy this Advent build and build. Let us be complete. Let us humble ourselves in the awe of the Messiah. Let us prepare our lives to give our all to God, to follow Jesus, to offer our all. Amen.